Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why? But this is something a bit different. It's a condensed version. It's our favourite conversations about tricky subjects, revisited and reduced into bite-sized chunks. So hello and welcome to another episode of But Why. Today I am talking to Sunday Times best-selling author Vex King. His first book, Good Vibes, Good Life, sold over 600,000 copies. And his newest book, Healing is the New High, is probably one of the most accessible and down-to-earth self-help books that I've ever read, and that actually is a great articulation of Vex King, full stop. So I hadn't come across Vex till relatively recently, and I think we share a literary agent, that's it. So then I came across his Instagram account and just thought that he's a guy who talks sense. He talks about trying to improve yourself, but not in a way that feels highfalutin or for appearances or full of cliches, just as a man who's trying to make his life better by improving himself. All of this was before I'd had the pleasure of my conversation with him that you're going to hear today, when I learned more about his life and the amazing journey he's been on, from a child growing up where money was really tight, where they didn't know where the next meal is coming from, to a guy who has worked his way into a place where he's really having a hugely positive impact on loads and loads of people. I adored our chat and I hope you do too. So without further ado, here is Vex King.
My life's kind of been difficult from the get-go. My dad died when I was 6 months old. My mum was pretty new to the country, so she was still picking up the English language. And I've got two sisters, older sisters, and so she's got three kids. Dad's just passed away. She's still kind of making herself feel at home while taking care of the kids. And I'm 6 months, so me and my sisters have a 2-year difference between us. So, you know, they're young. She's just you know really struggling. And then she's got a business with a family member who turns out to be a little bit abusive, that then goes bankrupt, and then we find ourselves homeless. So for 3 years we're floating about, moving to different housing shelters, living in hotels, living with family members. But the thing with family members, and they were so kind for taking us in, but a lot of those members had also just moved to the country, just had kids, and they were starting their own lives. And there we were, or my mom was, with three really young kids, and it was almost like intrusive for them. Mm-hmm. So we never really felt like we belonged in these places. And during, like, for example, the hostel experience, you know, we'd experience like screaming and horrors and like blood all over the staircase and smashed glass. And even as we approached the housing shelter to make our way in, like, you know, there was just some really strange characters that, you know, you were kind of a little bit wary of. And I was really young at that time, but I can still remember feeling a certain way, like there was, we were in danger. And then finally, you know, we had a bit of a stroke of luck, I would say, and we were given a council home, and we moved into that home, and, you know, it finally felt like things were changing, but the people around us in that area were so racist that as soon as we stepped outside, it was almost like, go back to your own country. You don't belong here. Oh. And at midnight, so our neighbors, so it was a house of like 10 to 15 teenagers. Honestly, I don't know how many people were in that house, mm-hmm. but there was a lot. And they would like party and drink every weekend. And there was the same pattern. On a Saturday night, they would get completely hammered. You'd hear drumming and then they'd knock on our door. Like, and this was at like after midnight as well. And I, again, I'm still young and I can still remember this very clearly. Mm. And they'd be shouting stuff through the letterbox, like, open up, you know, effing and blinding, racist remarks, get out the country. And once we had a washing machine outside our front lawn and they got fireworks and they put it in the washing machine. So of course it like exploded. And it was just almost like tragedy after tragedy. And it was just pain and fear after pain and fear. And it just kept repeating. And it was like, we never felt welcome when we were moving around, when we were homeless. And then we moved to an area and again, we don't feel welcome. I was always interested in life and philosophy. And there was this section of the website called the Knowledge Corner or Center or something. And people would talk about like science, different schools of thought, again, philosophy, just different ideas to kind of like improve your life. And people mentioned this book and the book was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And they were like, this book has changed my life. Bruce Lee read it. He changed his life. And I was a martial arts fan. So I resonated with Bruce Lee and I thought, I need to read this book, but there's a problem. I hate reading. I don't like reading at all. Even in school, I hated reading books. I just wasn't interested in them. But I thought, if this is going to make my life better, let me try and read this book mm-hmm. and see what it's about. So at the time, obviously, you know, we're still experiencing financial difficulty and it kind of relates to what you said. So I got a copy of the book somewhat illegally off the internet. Not that I condone that, but, you know, at the time, I wouldn't have had the money to even, you know, be able to buy a book. But I got a copy of the book. I read it and I thought, you know what? There is something in this book and it inspired me and it kind of created this internal shift within me. And my mind started perceiving the world in a different way. Mm-hmm. I just had some kind of newfound faith, I think, that there was better out there for me. And because of this book, I started researching into athletes that I kind of idolized at the time. I started looking into scientists like Albert Einstein. I thought, like, you know, what is it about these people that make them who they are? Mm-hmm. And I started seeing the same patterns within these people. And, you know, a lot of it was driven by belief that there's better, belief in their ability, belief in just themselves. And, you know, the idea that kind of stuck with me was that a positive mind will or can lead to a positive life. And I thought, right, that's great. I'm going to use that. That's going to help me change my life. And over the years, things did change.
Shit things happen to good people. They do. Life isn't fair. And so you can't go around going, oh, you know, and of course, we should go into situations and try and see the best of them. I think that's what we're agreeing about.
Yeah.
But I had Nicola Perra from the holistic psychologist on, and she talks about the dark night of the soul, that if we suppress and suppress and suppress, at some point it's going to get you. And that might manifest in a mental health issue, or if she believes it comes out in physical health, which goes back to you carrying it in the body. So these people who look like everything's happening for them and then their back suddenly go at 40, that is because you're holding all this thing that you're not observing. Yeah. And the problem is, once you start observing yourself, once you start being real with yourself, it is uncomfortable. You know, this work, though positive, is once you've ripped the lid off it or take whatever it is, once you're in self-healing work, you can't really stop, can you?
No, it's, you know, Nicole's amazing and I love her work, her book and just everything she shares online, but she's completely right. I think with social media now as well, and I even, you know, sometimes question myself, I have to look at my own work and think, am I misleading people? Because, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, some years back, I really pushed this phrase, good vibes only, and it came from a lot of my spiritual understanding of holding a higher vibrational state. So just being kind of more energetic, but being happy and that those feelings get in return to you. And I completely believe in that. But what it wasn't saying was that you can only accept good vibes, because that is misleading. Yeah. Because the world, you know, the world's there's no one in the world that can say that they've had a perfect life and a perfect day where nothing has disrupted them. Soon as you go out into the world, there's challenges. There's, you know, we can't control the way people interact with us, what they think of us. They might judge us. They might talk to us in a rude manner. All of those things are going to affect us in some sort of way. And what I find inner healing does is actually it doesn't make those problems go away, because, you know, you can't control those things. Those things will always exist, but it helps us respond to those things in the best way we can. Yeah. And it also doesn't mean that we're never going to feel pain. Like one of my teachers explains this beautifully, and he says that, you know, pain is the feeling, right? So we can feel pain, but suffering is the response. And with pain, there will always be some suffering. But when you go to the cinema, you go to a movie, and it's like, maybe say it's a romance or something, and you start crying, right? That's emotional pain that you're feeling through the characters or through the screen, but you're not carrying the suffering, which is all the anguish that comes with it. So actually what inner healing is basically getting to that stage where we can feel the pain. Is the pain's real. It's going to be felt with us, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. We're always going to feel that pain, but it's having less of the suffering because we've responded to it in a way that's more empowering. It's creating more mental resilience within ourselves, and knowing that no matter what happens, we're going to be okay.
There we go. What a lovely, beautiful ending. Well, thank you so much. What a conversation. I'm going to go and like try and pick apart so much of what we've spoken about. But I mean, I feel endlessly grateful to have had this time with you, but also just to have these conversations. Aren't we very, very lucky?
Thank you so much, Clemmie. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.